Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTV Strength Training Systems, and welcome to another edition of the weekly roundup here, the MTV Strength Coach Podcast, where I go over some of the stuff that I posted on my blog at bikejames.com. It's a little later than usual this week getting this out. It's Saturday afternoon. I'm finally getting a chance to sit down and do this, but it's been good. Been a busy week. We were recently asked to come and set up a facility in the local gym here in Fruita. And so the facility that my wife and I own and run is based in Grand Junction, which is a big town about 10-15 minutes from where we live in Fruita. But Fruita is obviously a really popular mountain bike destination, and so I'm pretty excited because the gym's literally right across the street from Over the Edge Cycles and right next to Single Track Cycles. So if you've ever been to Fruita and you know kind of where the shops are and the center of what's going on with the mountain bike scene, the gym is right there. And so I think it's going to make it easier for me to offer clinics and things like that for riders that are in the area. And so I'll be posting those as I do them. I do know that the 30th of this month, actually, here, what are we in, June? Yeah, June 30th, I'm doing a free clinic out of the gym. So if you just so happen to be in the area that week and you want to come by the gym and do the free clinic, or, if you're going to be in the area and you want to inquire about what I have planned, or, I'm definitely going to be offering some more personalized services, get together, go through some assessments and kind of help you put together a more personalized workout to address what's holding you back, kind of based on the assessments and stuff that I do. So anyways, you can shoot me an email at james@mtbstrengthcoach.com if you're going to be in the Fruita area and that's something that you might be interested in learning more about. So, but getting on to the blog here. So the first thing that I posted last week was a video that I had shot, up until now I've only had it available for clients on the foam roller. And I find that a lot of times people are intimidated by stuff that they're not real familiar with. And so, if you haven't heard me talk about foam rolling, then, it's just a matter of time until you do, because foam rolling is one of those things I think that every serious mountain biker should be doing. If you have tight, sore muscles that have trigger points and knots and adhesions, then stretching alone is not going to address it. And that muscle tension will affect your trail flow. It will affect your ability to move fluidly on your bike. It is going to affect your overall endurance, because tight muscles will fatigue faster than non-tight muscles will. And so just looking at all the things that muscle tension is going to do to you, you have to be foam rolling. It's not an option for any serious mountain biker. So, I mean, to be honest with you, if you're not foam rolling, I don't really want to talk about any other training components, realistically. I mean, strength training or cardio training or, any of those things, because foam rolling is just such a basic thing. So anyways, I posted this video, like I said, because I find a lot of times people don't just jump in and start using it because they're not exactly sure where to start. And so this video basically covers, what foam rollers are, what they look like, what the differences are, between, different densities and lengths and stuff like that, which one you should probably consider getting. And then I go over how to use the foam roller in a few key areas just to, get you going. There really is no wrong way to use the foam roller. You don't want to be rolling out over, joints, where there's just bone and not a lot of muscle, and, just kind of using some common sense in that, in that regards. But anyway, just to kind of give you some ideas to get you started, just go over a few things. So it's a really good video. If you're not familiar with foam rolling and something you've heard me talk about but haven't really just jumped into yet, then watch this video. And as soon as you're done, under my resources, links on my blog, I'm going to have a link to Perform Better. And Perform Better is a great website. They carry a lot of really good training tools. Besides foam rollers, they also carry kettlebells and strength bands and some of the other different unique tools that you'll sometimes hear me talk about and see me use in my videos and stuff like that. So like I said, if you haven't done it already, watch this video, go click on the Perform Better link, go to their website and order you up a foam roller and get going on it tomorrow. The next post that I made was one I titled Variety is Overrated, and basically there's, you know, three pillars of training, and this is something that I heard Greg Cook talk about, but if you look at old school training, you know, before kind of bodybuilding and that whole thing, Joe Weider and his crew hit the scene, you know, there were three pillars of training, and they were progression, technical mastery, and variety. And so the problem is that variety has kind of taken over the training landscape, and really our fitness culture has turned into more of, it's really more of an extension of the entertainment industry. And you know, you'll find these indulgent training programs everywhere. I mean, they don't have any sort of progression, they don't have any sort of emphasis on technical mastery. I mean, mastery is not a word you should throw around lightly. I mean, I want you to, you know, think right now, how many exercises would you say that you have mastered? I mean, would you put your life on the line that you could execute perfectly each and every time? You know, like that's what I mean by technical mastery. And so, and you know, the variety from your program really should be born from these other two components. You know, the fact that there are progressions into different exercises and skills, and if you caught my podcast last week, then you heard me kind of talk about, you know, what I consider to be the future of mountain bike training, which is, you know, being able to look at skills on our bike, technical skills that we need on our bike, and break them down into physical components, and then set up a training program to address those underlying physical components and progress into those skills. And that's kind of the same concept here. You look at a complex exercise. For example, in my blog post, I talked about a one-arm dumbbell snatch. And, you know, the one-arm dumbbell snatch is a great exercise. And I think that it's an exercise that, you know, every serious mountain biker should, you know, be looking to incorporate into their program. But to be honest with you, it's one of those that I don't talk about a lot because there is a progression into it. Like, I progress people into this exercise in my Ultimate MTB workout program. They don't start out with it. They start out with other things that build core strength, teach the proper hip hinge technique, you know, teach them how to initiate movement with the lower body while finishing with the upper body instead of everything just firing at once. You know, those are all vital components to getting the most out of that exercise. And so just grabbing a dumbbell and starting to do what you think looks like a one-arm dumbbell snatch is not sticking to the essence of training. Your variety should come from your progression. You know, you start out at, you know, what I like to call white belt level. You start out at the beginning with each, you know, movement skill, whatever. You know, when you start seriously training, you should, you know, go back to the beginning and see how do you really move. Like, as you start to become more and more conscious of the difference between creating movement and just going through a list of exercises on a piece of paper, and how that movement mindset and emphasis is going to make you a better mountain biker, not just arbitrarily building this random fitness on top of whatever movement pattern, good or bad the case may be. So, you know, as you start to think more along those lines, you know, we should all go back to the beginning. That's why I don't stray very often from those basics, because, you know, really working on those basics and drilling them in. But as you perfect those things, then you move to the next level. So, for example, you know, with a one-arm dumbbell snatch, if you said, okay, I want to learn this exercise, the first thing I need to do realistically is teach you how to perform a deadlift. I need to see that you know how to do proper hip hinge technique. You know, you're pushing the hips back and not just sinking the butt straight down. You're able to maintain a long spine throughout the movement. You know, once you're able to do that, then we build into working on something like a swing, where you're creating more of that pop with the hips. And then, you know, we start working on you know, I'd probably have you start working on some ball slams where you're, you know, slamming a medicine ball into the ground and you're working on generating the movement with the legs and finishing off with the arms, and then, you know, working into some, you know, push presses for the same thing. And then, you know, finally, once those things have been worked on and at each level, you know, have shown technical mastery, now we start to introduce the actual one-arm dumbbell snatch, you know. And but that's where your variety comes from. By the time you've built your way up to a one-arm dumbbell snatch, you've added, legitimately added, several good exercises to your program through that progression and through that technical mastery at each level. And so that's where the variety in your program should come from, not just, you know, reading through a book or reading through a magazine and trying to add a jillion different exercises to your repertoire. That is not training. You know, there's a saying in martial arts, don't fear the man who's done 10,000 techniques one time. You know, fear the man that's done one technique 10,000 times. You know, there's a bunch of different literary resources, actually, that talk about 10,000 being, you know, a very important number, that's kind of where mastery occurs. When you've done something properly 10,000 times, that's when you can start saying that you've mastered it, or that you're becoming extremely competent at it. It's just drilled into you. And again, remember, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice just makes permanent. So if you're practicing bad stuff, you're just making that bad stuff more permanent. So again, movement is what drives everything you should be doing with training. You're trying to acquire and refine the movement skills that you need for, you know, whatever it is that you need to accomplish on your mountain bike. And then, you know, like I said, you're understanding the progression and the technical mastery and the variety, how all three are supposed to be a part of this process. So, you know, it's not just going through a list of random exercises that look cool and, you know, quote unquote, kick your butt. You know, I mean, that is not, walking out of a workout feeling smashed does not mean that you had a good workout, okay? You know, you can walk out of a good workout feeling smashed, but not every workout you walk out of feeling smashed is a good workout. And you need to learn the difference between the two, you know, realistically. And so, you know, enjoy the journey, and, you know, you need to look to develop these other two pillars. As you really get into the journey, you know, it's a quest to become the best mountain biker that you can. And so, So that's, you know, kind of a blog post and a tangent and a rant all wrapped up into one there. But that's kind of the idea behind, you know, variety is overrated. Look to master things. Take the master's mindset into training. You know, this whole, like, I got to do something different every day because I get bored. You know, that's the wrong mindset to have with training. I don't know how to deal with that mindset, because that mindset needs to change, or else I can't really help people. So, anyways, it's something I got to work with my clients here. So, anyways, the next video that I posted, getting off of that there, is some pull-up variations for mountain biking. And, you know, this is actually kind of a good lead off of that variety being overrated, because this is a good way to add variety to your program. You know, pull-ups and chin-ups are just one of these exercises that you should always have incorporated at some level in your program. And so, you know, people, again, I do understand the need for variety with a program, but, you know, getting your pull-ups mastered, then the concept is, you know, do the same but different. And again, this is something from kettlebell training. I think Pavel Sautsalin was the first guy that I read that quote from, and it's, you know, it's very profound. And this is a good example. Like with pull-ups, you can do the same exercise, just vary a slight little component, and it's a new exercise as far as your body's concerned, as far as the training stimulus is concerned. But it's not so far off in the left field that you can't apply and really continue to refine those good movement lessons that you want to derive from the exercise. And so, you know, in this video, I go over a bunch of different pull-up variations for mountain biking. You know, I touch on why it's so important. You know, those upper back lat muscles are so important for keeping our shoulders in a good, strong position. And that's, you know, extremely important no matter what, you know, going up or down. Like when you're going up, you'd be surprised, like, how much it really takes from your from your lats to keep the front end of your bike down, because you know you can't get your front end effectively over your handlebars. So you know when you're going downhill and you're able to, or you're on the flats and you're able to, you know, get your chest more over your handlebars, you're more able to use your pressing muscles in order to, you know, keep your weight on the front end. But as things start going up and you have to shift back in order to keep weight on your rear tire in order to maintain traction, you have to shift away. You're not able to push down as effectively with those pressing muscles, you know, the chest and the shoulders. And so you start to rely, it becomes more of a pull. You're actually kind of like pulling down into the ground, and it becomes a little bit more of a lat, you know, and back dominant, you know, movement. And so securing that front end on a steep climb, it's extremely important for you to be strong with your pull-ups, because that is the, you know, the basic movement and muscle behind what you need there in order to accomplish that. And so, you know, also, you know, obviously for coming down, you know, having good strong upper back muscles in order to keep your shoulders nice and strong and stable is just going to keep you more stable and help you, you know, more efficiently absorb impacts and also, you know, steer the bike. So, you know, pull-ups are vital. I mean, push-ups and pull-ups are just two of those exercises that you should pretty much always be doing. I can't ever think of a time when you wouldn't want those in your program. So, you know, outside of some sort of injury concern. But so anyways, this gives you a lot of different ideas on how you can continue to train, you know, pull-ups for mountain biking, you know, so you can add some variety without getting too far away and sticking with kind of the spirit of our three pillars of training. And then finally, my last post that I made is one, you know, I've actually had a few people, you know, either make comments or send me an email about, and I titled it, you know, What Happened to My Skills? And I have a couple of riding buddies who are, you know, seem to be facing a similar problem, and it's something that, you know, realistically in talking with mountain bikers over the last several years, you know, it's something that, you know, it's kind of a common phenomenon where there just seems to come a day when your skills as a mountain biker start to regress, like where there's a day where all of a sudden you just don't feel like you can as effectively do what you did the day before or the week before, whatever the case may be. But there is a moment where it's like, what's happening here? You know, I'm actually seem to be regressing with my skills, and not necessarily like, you know, fitness levels. And you know, I mean, you know, I'm talking more about just your ability to execute skills and feel really confident and comfortable on your bike. And so, you know, if you've experienced this, you know how frustrating it can be. And, you know, while I could be wrong, I do have a theory about why this is. And you know, my post, I talk about it. And basically, in a nutshell, you know, all riding skills are composed of basic movement, strength, and body awareness skills, you know, just basic athletic components. And these components, they naturally peak in your early to mid-20s. And, you know, at that point, you know, just riding your bike will result in increased, you know, endurance and skills. I mean, you just can, you know, ride and you will continue to get better, you know, not as quickly and effectively if you're doing a little bit more purposeful training program, but you will improve. But, you know, if you don't purposefully train, you know, those components through a good strength and conditioning program, you know, you're not working on these movement and strength and power and body awareness skills, they start to decline as you get into your late 20s and early 30s. And, you know, like I said, there's a day when you will wake up and those basic components, your strength, power, and mobility will have eroded to the point that you start to notice it on the trail. And, you know, at first it may just seem like an off day, but, you know, after a few weeks or months, you know, it starts to feel like that off day is every day, like you just can't get back on. And so, you know, like I said, I mean, that's, I can imagine that's an extremely frustrating feeling. And, you know, realistically, this is the point where, you know, people start to either write it off as simply getting older, which drives me nuts because, I mean, realistically, just kind of a side note, so much of what we relate as age-related things are really nothing more than just deconditioning. you know? Like, you cannot ignore certain physical components. You can't ignore mobility. You can't ignore strength. You can't ignore power. And you can't ignore proper cardio conditioning. You know, you can't be one of these people that only works on one component and ignores all the other components and then starts to break down and then goes, oh, well, that's just getting older. No, it's not. It's not just getting older. It's not having a sound, you know, sane fitness program that you know, keeps you a well-rounded human being. Because, you know, remember, you know, you're not a mountain biker. You're a human being that mountain bikes. You know, that's realistically how, you know, the equation works. And so, you know, making sure that the human is intact and well-rounded will make sure that the mountain biker is intact and well-rounded and ready to work. So, but anyway, so that's kind of a side tangent there again about, but, you know, it's not about getting older. Or, you know, the other thing that people may start to think is that's when they need a new bike or a fork, and so they, you know, they start the quest that usually ends up with a, you know, way overpriced, super expensive bike that they believe it, you know, is what was holding them back. But it never is the answer, you know. It always seems like no matter how much money you spend on your bike, you can't quite seem to get back what you feel like you've lost. And so, you know, the good news is this is a pretty easily reversible trend. And I believe that you can get better each and every year. You know, by spending a couple hours a week working on strength, power, mobility, you know, I think you can actually improve with age. And so, you know, the lesson here is pretty simple. You know, if you're currently experiencing this permanent off day trend, then, you know, I say don't accept it. You know, one day you do realize the advantages of youth that are wasted on the young. You know, it's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason, because it's true. You know, when you're young, you can do anything you want and get away with it. That doesn't mean that's good, sound strategy, a good, sound way to go about becoming a better mountain biker. So, you know, when you realize that these advantages are wasted on you when you're young, you can either accept it or do something about it. So, you know, doing something about it is getting going on strength and mobility and power training and you know, building those components back up and seeing how much it's going to affect you in all the other areas of your riding, because those are, like I said, those are usually what's eroded away and is really affecting you on your bike. And so, you know, if you are in your 20s or, you know, you're a teenager or whatever, or, you know, you just haven't really felt like you even know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this permanent off day, just know the day is coming that you will wake up and you are going to feel old and stiff on the trail. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So again, you can either wait until that day to do something about it, or you can be proactive and start addressing it now. So personally, I think you should start addressing it now. You know, I believe that every year, you know, the trail is waiting to, you know, as I put in my post, you know, reveal itself to you at a higher level. Like, I mean, that's realistically how I look at riding. You know, the experience of mountain biking is, you know, the trail has these different levels, you know, that you can ride it at. And so, again, you know, without getting like too far off on like something like totally off in left field here, with experience comes better opportunities and better vision and better understanding of what the trail, you know, can be. And if you back it up, if you continue to back it up with the physical skills to make that vision a reality, you can get better each and every year. You know, I think, I mean, at least for a lot longer than most people think. I'm not going to say when you're 75, you're going to be better than you were when you were 25. You know, I don't know if that's the case. But then again, I don't know. You know, I don't know how many 75-year-olds there are out there that have been, you know, training seriously for mountain biking. But anyways, you know, don't let your fun die off a slow death just because your basic physical skills are eroding. You can do something about it. You can address it with a good strength training program that addresses these components. And so, so that's, you know, that was it for this week. Some extra thoughts on those. You know, I think got some good posts in there, you know, with the foam roller and the pull up videos. And you know, just kind of keeping in mind what we're looking for from our training program with the progression and the technical mastery and the variety components, and then, you know, realistically how those tie into our physical skills. I mean, that's what that's how training, getting off the bike and getting in the gym, will make you better on the trail. And there's, realistically in my mind, there's no way around that fact. I truly believe that if you aren't doing strength and conditioning, you aren't the best rider that you can be. No matter how good you are or you know, how bad you are, I think that if you're not doing strength and conditioning training, then you're seriously holding yourself back. And you know, so anyway, so of course I'd say that being the MTV strength coach, but of course I'm biased, but we already knew that. So anyway, so that's about it. But I did just want to give a quick update on something that I touched on last week. And that was what, you know, I kind of thought was the future of the program here, MTB Strength Training Systems, and trying to create what I'm calling a lesson plan for basic skills on your bike. And so, you know, I've actually shot the first video for the first lesson plan, and the first lesson plan is going to be on your attack position on your bike. And again, you know, call it what you will, the attack position, the base position, you know, it's that position with your, you know, butt, you know, back, your chest down towards the handlebars, elbows out to the side, and a long spine, you know, not having the tail tuck, not having the upper back rounded. So that basic attack position on your bike is just, it's where everything else stems from. If you don't have good command and control of that position on your bike, then you're going to have a really tough time trying to, you know, pick up the front end of your bike better, bunny hop better, corner better, jump better, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, if you don't have a really strong command of that position, then you're going to have trouble. So the idea is I'm creating kind of a lesson plan to kind of help you identify, you know, where along this continuum, you know, of training are you, and then here's kind of a plan to help you address that area and work you through these different levels to get you to the point where, you know, you have the basic physical skills to get on your bike and really master that attack position and feel really comfortable and in control of it. So anyways, hopefully here in the next week or so, I'm going to have the complete lesson plan done, and then let you know how you can get in on it and, you know, kind of get in on this cutting edge here of mountain bike training and see how it goes. I'm pretty excited about it to see how it works out. I think it's going to help a lot of riders have a lot more fun on the trail, and that's really what it's all about. I mean, that's, you know, why I do what I do, because I want people to have more fun on the trail and understand that a lot of the frustration that they may be experiencing on their bike is simply just not having the physical skills to do what you need to do on your bike. And so, you know, there are ways to address that. But anyway, so once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. And, you know, got any questions or comments on any of these posts here, pop on over to my blog at bikejames.com and leave a comment, and I'll be happy to get back to you. But thanks again for taking the time to listen to this and check out my blog. I really do appreciate it. And, you know, as always, you got any ideas or questions or suggestions for me, I can be reached at james@mtbstrengthcoach.com. So until next week, you guys have fun, and make sure you get a couple rides in.